Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show once again. Today is Thursday, April 4th, and as we're getting ready for the weekend, we're counting the days to the next rent that's due. What happened to you there?
There's somebody else's hair there.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Yeah. People come in here. I don't know why, like, well, mostly women play with their hair.
Yeah.
And then you get, like, clumps of it.
Yeah, but pick up after yourself.
Exactly. Huh? They don't think about it, you know.
Gross.
I always see hair on the floor and stuff in this building. I don't know what the hell's going on. Maybe because they have, like, white marble on the downstairs near the elevator.
Yeah, yeah.
I always see clumps of hair. I'm like, how disgusting, you know. Yeah. Right? I mean, other people's hair is...
I mean, when I wear my extensions, I definitely shred, but I always, like, pick it up and put it in the trash, you know.
Yeah, well, we had porn stars here last night, and they don't really give a shit about anything. They really don't. The type of people that waltz in whenever they want.
Well, that's pretty judgmental, Sam.
Well, I've seen them. In fact, let me tell you, I opened a radio station a few years ago just for porn stars.
Oh, yeah, you did say that.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't show up or they'd be late. So I know them. I know them. I had to close the fucking business down because I couldn't work
with
these
people. What was the station called? Can you hear me chewing this?
No, it's okay. Chew, whatever.
I'm starving.
It was called Radio Temptation. And it started being really big because there wasn't another station, you know, and we had video with the porn stars and everything. But I realized I can't count on these people. How can I run a business like this?
Right.
So I closed it down. I said, fuck it, you know, after 6 months. So when I'm being... when I'm generalizing, I know what I'm talking about. So how do you explain it that there are two porn stars here on the station, right?
Right.
They're the only ones where the people don't clean up after them. They leave the water bottles here. They leave wrappers from candy wrappers and shit. They never pick up after themselves. What the fuck is wrong with them?
So you just tell them they can't come back.
But... No, it's okay. They're guests here. But my question is, how is it that, they all behave the same, you know? So I think it's an outlook on life. I think it's it's values, whatever it is. But I can't explain it. No other show does that. And there's two shows every week. They leave their shit here. So maybe, I think maybe people do what the host does. If the host leaves all their shit here, they'll leave it here too, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
Yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, that station was pretty risque. I mean, they take off their clothes and stuff like that. And, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Oh, in-studio prostitution.
Yeah, something like that. They play games with balloons and sex toys and stuff. I mean, they didn't really get it on, but, I mean, you know.
Mm.
Ring tossing.
What does that mean?
Like, you know, when you ring it, you toss rings onto, like, they'd have, like, a vibrator or something, and you'd have to hit it.
Yeah.
Yeah, some stupid shit like that.
Yeah.
But,
I think that stuff is kind of weird for radio.
Yeah, but it was more like TV, you know, but yeah, I mean.
Yeah, because it's like nobody.
No, there was video. Video, yeah.
But some people, if they're listening to the audio, I think that's weird.
Yeah, but. You know, that's the thing, is that when we had a couple shows here and I saw all the shenanigans and stuff, taking out their tops and stuff, you know, taking off their tops, I thought people should be able to see this, you know?
Right.
So that's why I did it.
Because, I mean, you can't really describe it. Hey, Becky's sitting right next to me with her tits out.
Right.
Her nipples are pink.
Right.
Like, it's weird if you're not on video.
But they're crazy. I mean, they'll start kissing each other and stuff, the girls.
Like, into the microphone?
No, but, you know, they just like... No, they do it for themselves, not really for the listeners. But what I'm saying is, I thought people should be able to see this.
Yeah.
So it was always video. But yeah, man, we definitely could not share it on Facebook, that's for sure.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
Actually, you could share it on Twitter.
Well, we put them on YouTube, the ones that didn't have nudity and stuff.
Yeah. You know,
so there's still a lot of them there. But at any rate, folks, thank you for joining us this morning. We have a guest to whom we're going to get in just a moment. And just to cover a couple of things, that are not really important, really. Mm. But Britney Spears, I guess, is going to rehab.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did.
Do we know what she's going for?
Her dad is sick, and I guess he's, like, under treatment. They didn't say what his diagnosis was, but I guess he's, like, in the... He's not getting better.
So
she's having, like, a mental
it?
Breakdown about it.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
But it must be, like, a severe mental breakdown for you to be like, I need to check myself in
right.
to a facility.
Right.
So that must be, like, her number one in her life. Yeah. Her dad, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty sad, man, you know? But, she, so, you know, it's funny how the years fly. She's 37 years old already.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty weird, huh?
Not really.
I looked at her here. I didn't even recognize her.
I mean, nobody recognized her after
right?
a while, yeah.
Did she do, like, work on her face or something?
I don't think so.
So why does she look so different?
Because she's older.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, age is a thing. It happens.
Yeah.
You gain weight, you can't lose it. You get wrinkles, you can't get rid of them.
Right.
But I don't think she's, like, I don't look at her and think she's done any, like, plastic surgery or anything.
Okay.
I think she's one of those people that's like, fuck it, I really don't give a shit.
Right.
Yeah.
She looks a little older than 37.
Yeah.
You know, if I didn't know her.
Yeah.
I think she's in her 40s or something, mm-hmm. but... You know, whatever. You don't know what kind of
her
life.
Her boyfriend's like 26.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they mentioned his name here, Sam Asghari or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
Really?
Yeah. Fuck you, Sam.
Why?
Him and all his homeboys can literally go suck their own dicks.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wait, is he like famous or something?
No.
No?
He's a personal trainer.
So just, okay.
Yeah.
Personal fucking trainer.
Yeah.
They always pick up their students, it seems, right?
Yeah, and he's probably getting a monthly allowance from her.
Yeah. But, all these personal trainers, I mean, don't these women know they're fucking just about everybody else?
Yeah, it's
disgusting.
You know? I mean, I fucked one of his friends. That's why I know they're all douche dicks.
Really?
Yeah, his friend is, like, one of the worst human beings I've ever met in my life.
Wow.
He's, like, abusive, beats the shit out of women. I just feel like, how are you friends with someone like that?
Yeah.
If you're if you can associate with someone... Who does those type of things, you are a piece of shit too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. And I can't imagine Britney Spears dating someone who has friends like that, but she is.
Yeah.
So I've lost like all respect for her really in the
really?
Grand scheme of things. Yeah. She probably doesn't know though.
Yeah.
Or she does and he beats the shit out of her too. You never know.
Really? You think she'd go for that?
I don't know.
For being beat?
I don't know. She doesn't seem like she's like that strong-willed.
I don't know, but she's not a woman that's going to take it. I don't know many women that would these days, you know?
I wouldn't.
Take that kind of shit.
Yeah. I remember there was one night the guy, his friend and that I was dating or hooking up with, whatever, looked like he was about to scrap on me. I go, I fucking dare you. But, and he looked at me like no chick has ever said that to him before. I'm
really?
Like, I'm not these LA girls. You put hands on me, I'm going to ruin the rest of your life.
Right.
Please do. Please go for it.
Yeah. You'll be sackless.
Yeah, literally.
No testicles.
And I'll own your fucking gym, so please do it.
All right, well, enough shit for one morning. Folks, we're going to bring in our guest, and we'll continue with shit, probably. We're joined by comedian Mark Serratella. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. He was here early, which we always appreciate.
Yeah.
But you didn't have your coffee, so are you awake
I got
enough
here,
for the show?
I got here last night, slept in the lobby.
That's why, so he got here before I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, almost.
And I'm awake. I like that this show started with calling out porn stars on their integrity.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go. How much integrity do we think they have?
Who would have ever thought that?
Yeah. I mean, it's a touchy subject.
Right.
You know?
Well,
I feel like they're human beings too. Like I don't
no,
think,
of course,
yeah.
Of,
but
absolutely.
I definitely would never date a porn star
because their decision making ability is questionable. You know,
right.
I mean, you make that decision once and that's it.
Yeah.
But I gotta tell you, last night I watched a movie called Camming or something, or
what's it called?
Cam for me. You know the webcams that
chicks
do?
Yeah.
And they show you like women around the world that do this. And they make so much fucking money, man. They don't even have to see the guys or anything.
Yeah, they
know?
Just play with themselves on camera.
Right.
And, like, talk to themselves.
And some guys don't even require them to get naked. They just want to communicate with someone.
Yeah.
So that's pretty pathetic, you know. But the thing is that there's so many ways for women to make money these days, mm-hmm. you know. And
it's very empowering what you just said.
Yeah.
There's so many ways to cam. So many different cams you can buy.
Yeah.
That's true.
Let's go back to your sentence. I like your
different things you can do out there.
I like your sentence of, I feel like there are people too for porn stars. No, they are people.
Yeah. Well, there was a Law and Order SVU episode where a porn star got raped, and the rapist got off because basically they slut-shamed her the entire trial.
Yeah.
I'm like, just because she fucks for a living doesn't mean she deserves to be fucked up, like when she's not
wanting
it.
Yeah, against the will.
I think that's the golden rule.
Yeah.
Of porn stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, welcome to the show. So you're a comedian, actor, and stepson. That's what your website says. Yeah. So you do comedy. How long have you done comedy now?
20 years last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a long time.
That was exciting. I started the Comedy Store in La Jolla, which is basically down in San Diego.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Then I was down there. I was working as a teacher at the time, so I left there after about 10 years of stand-up, and I've been here for... I left there after 9 years of stand-up, and I've been here for 11 years.
Oh, wow. So you started the comedy... Oh, you started in the comedy
store. At the Comedy Store, La Jolla.
I thought you said you started it. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I'm Mitzi Shore reincarnated. Yeah. Here I am, before you.
So, very cool. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in upstate New York. Grew up in Albany.
Oh, really?
It's the capital.
Wow. So, that's quite different from L.A.
It's as almost as far as you can get, besides being from Maine, and it's definitely very, very different.
Yeah.
But I like being here over being there.
Really?
Yeah.
So you've been in California many years then?
20. Yeah.
20 years. Yeah. So this is home for you.
Yeah, totally.
Do you go visit back there sometime?
Yeah, all the time. I'll be back there next month.
You have family and everything there?
Yeah. Yeah, my whole family's still back there. Albany's one of those towns that people are afraid to leave.
Albany, New York?
Yeah.
Mm. Why are they afraid to leave?
No, they're afraid to leave. Yeah, they're safe. You have your job. You work 30 years. You retire. You can afford to retire. Like here, I feel you have to, like, you know, marry someone rich and hope they die in order to retire.
That's true, right?
Unfortunately, so.
That's the grim reality.
Like, look, I enjoy your presence, but I also can't stand working. So if you could just pass away, that'd be great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, let's move on.
I like that I'm being called out right now. I feel like porn stars are people, too.
I mean, that's a nice thing to say.
Well, whatever, you know. Anyway, we say anything here.
Yeah.
So you've been doing comedy. You've acted as well.
Yeah.
Did you have to go to school to learn this stuff, or is it pretty much like...
Yeah, I started actually acting school before I started stand-up at the University of North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I graduated and moved to San Diego.
Really?
Didn't want to move to L.A. It was just so different than anything I've ever been through.
Mm. Right.
I knew it. Even not having been here, I knew. I go, that is too big a jump.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
But, San Diego is a little more accommodating. It's smaller.
Yeah.
It's not as intimidating, right?
Yeah, especially back then because there wasn't really the internet when I started comedy. So you didn't have really a look into stand-up. It was such a jump. I feel like the people start now, they can get you know, back when I started, there was HBO specials. You'd see like maybe one or two specials a year.
Right.
But now you can watch stand-up 24 hours a day if you want with things like YouTube and Vimeo and going to their websites. So it was like I knew I wanted to start outside of L.A., get good at it, and then move here.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. And how long have you been in L.A. now? 4 years, did
11,
you say?
11.
Oh, 11 years in L.A.
Totally.
Oh, wow. Very cool. So I would imagine, I mean, we've had comedians, actors here on the show and stuff, and I think everybody knows how difficult it is with all the competition and stuff to stand out. How have things been for you? I mean, what do you do to stand out?
I get arrested as much as possible, get a mugshot online.
Okay, so then people know you.
Yeah, get TMZ rolling.
There you go.
Yeah.
You should just make a friend at the police department and say, can you just take my monthly photo?
Yeah, you're right. Totally. You need no headshots.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just keep doing shows and you keep trying to get funnier and funnier. I mean, I think that the comedian gave me really good advice. He goes, just focus on getting funnier.
Yeah.
Because at one point, I was really focused on, is my career where I want it to be? And if you keep getting funnier on stage, then you kind of become undeniable when you start booking more shows. Then people take you on the road. Then, like, you know, I think Lori Jonas booked this for me. She's my PR rep. She's been getting me more PR lately. So just building on your career, like, inch by inch, I think works.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, so let me ask you this. Let's say you do comedy for a while. You're used to it and stuff. How do you suddenly tell yourself, you know what, I'm not funny enough. I need to be more funny? How do you do that?
Because I remember writing jokes in like in L.A. I think L.A. is the hardest place to perform in the world, actually.
Mm. Really?
Because there are so many actors, comedians, directors, writers, singers that everyone here is a performer. So you have to be really good to make them laugh.
Yeah.
So like I perform in New York a lot, which is also kind of the mecca of stand-up. But in New York, there's a lot of regular people. Investment bankers, teachers, you know, bus drivers. So it's easier to make them laugh there.
Really?
So
that's very interesting. Yeah. I never thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So for here, I used to run a weekly show in New York from here. I would do it like, I wouldn't do it every week, but so I got a real like glimpse at the difference between both scenes. But then I think in LA, what I did is one time I just wrote down, I go, what do I want my act to look like? And I, instead of writing jokes, I was like, okay, I want it to be a mix of jokes and improvised with the crowd and to be kind of upbeat and like, you know.
That's so true. So you change your style. You suddenly interact with the audience more. Maybe some people would do more physical comedy.
Right.
So you can reinvent yourself somehow.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And so you perform around town, I imagine, right?
Yeah.
What are some of the clubs you were at?
Mainly the Improv and the Comedy Store, although I have a show at the Laugh Factory coming up on Tuesday.
Mm.
So they're all at my website, markscomedy.com. Okay. But and I'm constantly, if you go to my social media too, I'm constantly updating about shows, because in LA you get shows usually 2 or 3 days before.
Really?
You know, although and at most maybe 6 weeks in advance. You know,
wow.
Although I am headlining the Hollywood Improv in June. Now I think about it, but I set that up on purpose because I'm trying to get a few more radio things going. I'm headlining the Irvine Improv also in June, so I try to get an LA date based around that for when I'm on the radio that I can plug.
Awesome.
So yeah, they're all on my calendar.
Very cool. Yeah. So this Tuesday you're going to be where?
At the Laugh Factory at 7:30.
Okay.
I just went to the worst comedy show there ever last week. It was so bad.
Where? Really?
At the Laugh Factory, yeah. Do you know whose it was?
Was that another one with, what's his name, the Persian ones?
No, it was in Toronto.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no.
Because I also work as a promoter. That's how I started making pretty good money.
I'll tell you right now.
Really?
Yeah, so this past Tuesday at the Improv, we had Sarah Silverman, Nick Kroll, Steve Renazzisi, Jimmy O Yang from Crazy Rich Asians.
Uh huh.
So that's also one way I got my name out there. Now I think about it, is promoting
Shay
shows.
Davis, Aiden Park, Jack Whitehall, Nicole Arbour, Eric Griffin, and Dane Cook.
Really? Because Eric Griffin and Jack Whitehall and Dane are great.
Jack Whitehall was decent. Eric Griffin was funny as fuck. Dane Cook was.
Dane's decent. Working on new stuff all the time because he's going on a tour. So whenever you're working on new stuff, even if you're famous, if you're writing new material, sometimes it just doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, he had a few funny jokes, but he stayed on one topic for far too long that it was like, I want to hear something else. Like, he just talked about watching YouTube videos the whole time and his, like, reaction to the videos. And I was like, this is far too long for a segment.
That makes sense based on Dane's style, too, because he does those long bits.
Yeah.
So I could see him getting stuck on a subject that might not be working. And then all of a sudden, it appears as if he's bombing. But he's Dane's used to making $500,000 for a gig, probably. So if he's at the Laugh Factory making regular pay, he's like, you know.
Yeah.
$500,000 what?
Probably for a gig, you know.
Really?
I don't know anymore.
Well,
$500,000?
Well, he's made.
Back in the day.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, like when he was like in the movies with like Jessica Simpson and stuff. Because he used to make a lot of movie appearances too.
I just feel like with a big star like that, especially who's, that is his home club, the Laugh Factory, that you're going to pay a premium price to get his premium material, which is equals. Because now he's basically doing theaters, I think.
I have no idea.
He announced a pretty big theater tour.
My friend just gave me an extra ticket, but Aiden Park was one of the worst comedians I've ever seen in my life.
I don't know who that is.
Okay, so there you go. And Nicole Arbour, I know she has like a YouTube channel and she used to do stuff on YouTube. She should have stuck with that and
YouTube
never gotten on the stage.
You cannot fast forward in stand-up comedy. You have to go through the work in order to be good at it. There's really very, very, very few naturals. You know who was a natural? I heard was Nick Swartzen. He had a half-hour Comedy Central special within 1 year.
He's the one that was in, like, Just Go With It Adam Sandler.
Right, but that is so rare. I mean, it's just to be that electric, that quick, and to have material and that kind of stage presence, and, like, that almost never happens. And with the YouTube stars, they get so much positive feedback, which is a thumbs up on their clip.
Right.
But I could see them like, oh, this is going to be funny in the club. And your comedic timing on a YouTube video is so much different than comedic timing on stand-up.
Well, and then the people that are watching your YouTubes have a different sense of humor than people that actually like go to comedy shows.
Yeah, they're younger.
Yeah. Like it's like it's a completely different vibe. Like, but yeah, she was awful. I was like, get the fuck off stage, like now.
Yeah,
it was like one of those shows where like everyone was talking.
And when stand up's bad, it's just bad because if music's bad, you can kind of tune out, talk to your friends a little bit quietly. Right. But when stand up's bad, there's such resentment in the crowd. You're like, I want to kill myself.
Yeah.
For some reason, what is it about bad stand-up that makes you suicidal?
I think you're feeling so bad for the comedian for bombing.
It's almost like who, like, you didn't present this to one of your friends or your family members or anybody before you got on stage.
And then what led me to be in the audience?
Right.
Like, why am I sitting beneath this person who's so bad at their art form?
Right.
That you go, you start questioning your own life decisions.
Well, my friend who gave me the tickets sent me the flyer, and I've seen Eric Griffin in Boston, and he's always funny, so I was like, okay, this is going to be a great show. And then I saw Dane Cook, and I've never seen him do stand-up, but I heard he was great.
Oh, really?
No, never. I've seen him in like movies and stuff, and I've seen his specials. Like his specials on like HBO and stuff have been good. So I was like, oh, this show's gonna be lit.
Yeah.
If your opener sucks, I feel like the show goes downhill you're
right
from
about
there.
That. You're absolutely right about that too. The opener is very, very important.
And that opener, woo-hoo, honey.
Because you know what we do at my show too, actually? We have a show pretty much every Tuesday at the Hollywood Improv.
Right.
Is I have a musician open who's upbeat. They do three songs. That starts at 10. At 10:15, the first comic takes the stage, and I make sure I've seen that comic open before and that they're electric. Because it is so important to the show.
Yeah, it is.
Because it gets it going, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally.
That's true. A couple shows I've been to that everybody bombed there, and they blame the audience. But I'm like, how can you blame the audience? It's not
sometimes
like
sometimes it
there.
Is the audience, though.
But how can there be a total collection of people that they all don't like?
Yeah. But I've been to comedy shows, too. Like Tehran, for instance, he's half Persian. So sometimes he'll have Persian comedians versus he'll throw a couple white or black in there, too. But when they see the Persian comedians, it's a lot of Persians in the crowd who don't understand the black comedian or the white comedian's jokes. So it'll look like they're totally bombing, but it's really the fucking crowd.
Yeah,
because you'll have me in the background pissing my pants, and I'll be like the only one in there laughing.
Comedy is new to the Persian world, too.
Yeah.
You know, comedy is culturally kind of American stand-up.
I've gone
to France and done shows. It's brand new there.
Right.
The comedians, when I went there 4 years ago, were terrible. They were worse than our open micers, and it was their best show. Now they're getting better.
I
feel like, you know, to the Persian community, stand-up is kind of new to them.
Right.
I toured with a great Lebanese comedian, this kid named Nimmer, and he likes bringing me because Persian crowds actually like my set because I'm pretty aggressive and I do crowd work, and Persian people like you to be in their face, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And interacting with them. And,
and
there's something, you know, the Persian fathers are in their kids' faces, so I feel like you get up there. And Nemer likes that about, you know, my stand-up is that I'm not afraid to be kind of confrontational and get them going.
Right.
But I've also bombed in front of Persian crowds or gotten silence. And then people afterwards are like, that was great. I go, why aren't you laughing? They go, you know, I don't know. I was smacked in the head when I laughed as a kid. So,
oh, my God. Yeah. It all depends. But sometimes I do think it's the crowd.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a new art form to the Persian. And it's, I think you check in 5 years from now, there's so many more Persian comics. They also I tour a little bit with Maz.
Right.
And then, you know, I've done the Irvine Improv with him, and he's like, you know, if you're not doing well, don't be intimidated. Luckily, on that whole weekend, I did well. But yeah, it's just a thing, especially to warm up, because I feel like, you know, on the way there, they were in their Mercedes, their wife was yelling at them, and they get in there, and they're a little tight to start it off.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But no, there's probably something to it. Like maybe the improv has a certain audience, and the Comedy Store has a certain audience.
No,
I think
everyone just like bounces around.
Yeah, but maybe they expect like maybe the audience
goes
to improv. Maybe they expect better comedy.
You're right about that. And
expectations.
The improv is specifically an L.A. club because it's off the beaten path just a bit. Even Melrose Ave is two streets down from Sunset as far as like, you know, major streets. So you have to go find the improv. You mainly live here. The Comedy Store is tourists because it's on Sunset Boulevard. They got the flashing lights.
So the comedy store,
you can do better quickly, which is great. As a community, you build your confidence there because they're from another town and they come here and they just saw 10 famous comics. And next thing you know, they're like squirting in their seats.
Right.
So they're excited. And then the improv, I think, is the hardest club in LA. It's still great, but it took me I started bombing for about 2.5 years after moving here doing the improv.
Really?
Because you have to, that's where you have to be the best. I think that's why it's my favorite club in the world because you have to be the best. To get a reaction there, because it is everyone from LA.
Right, then, and they're all expecting you to be the best.
Right,
And when you're not,
I've only gone to one show there, and it was like all like celebrity. Like I saw, not Tiffany Haddish. Who's the chick from Orange Is the New Black? She was like popping for like a long time.
Not Lunel.
She was in Ghostbusters.
Oh, Leslie Jones.
Yeah. So I went to a show where she was on it. It was like all like people on her like status.
Yeah, I'll get your Instagram before I leave too, because I have a show there like pretty much like 3 times a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the lineups are really dope.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's like what I like to do for fun.
Yeah.
And then I come in and I say if it sucked or not.
Yeah. Yeah, I should go more.
And it doesn't take much to make me laugh. So if I'm not laughing, you really bombed.
Yeah.
Like, you did a terrible job.
Yeah.
But I would say like I went to Comedy Store recently and I saw Tom Arnold.
Oh, yeah.
And he bombed. People were booing him
off
the stage.
He's an actor now. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't even because he used to be a phenomenal stand-up.
Yeah.
And so I have not seen him. I can't speak to if he's bombing or not. But I know that sometimes you get comfortable. You got, you know.
Yeah.
Tom Arnold's probably worth $25-30 million, maybe even more. I mean, he's the executive producer of Roseanne.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like, And then I think he got alimony after the divorce, which is kind of a famous case. He's like,
yeah.
He's like,
he got alimony?
Yeah, he's like one of, I know
yeah,
that
she made
he got
a lot of money.
No, he made, Roseanne. He supported Roseanne. Like, he was like, he was
oh, the, they were married.
Yeah, right. He was the breadwinner.
I didn't know that.
Early on, and he executive produced her show. So yeah,
Isn't she a lesbian?
Roseanne? No, yeah. She just has like that angry lesbian vibe.
Yeah. No, she's
I thought she was a lesbian. No. Maybe yeah. I'm thinking of Rosie O'Donnell. Is she a
yeah.
lesbian?
Yeah, yeah, Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah.
Oh, okay, she's yeah. a lesbian, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I just got the two.
But they're on the same block.
Yeah. You can compare them. It's
no,
fine.
I feel like he must have been on like either Adderall or cocaine when he was doing the show. No bullshit. But he was all... He was talking about like his ex-wife and having no, there was like no joke at all. It was like he got on stage and was just talking about his life and everyone was like, what the fuck is going on?
That's one of those drugs you got to keep in check.
It's yeah.
Like, he definitely was sober for a very long time and he like touts AA and rehab programs. So it would surprise me if he was on that, but
right.
but it wouldn't at the
he
same time.
He was definitely on something.
It wouldn't
for sure.
surprise me at the same time because you can fall, if you go through something painful, you can fall off back and
yeah.
quit, you know?
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
with that one because it's like numbs your entire brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Not sure if you've ever tried it.
But. I tried it one time when I was 18 and I was like, this is not the drug for me.
It's not a good girl, a good drug for women.
No.
It's a hard drug. I feel like
and so many women in LA do it.
I feel like the porn really? Stars that were here are probably in there.
There was like people in my restaurant the other day, like in the bathroom snorting coke. I'm like, you're at a fucking restaurant,
oh,
dude. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Adderall.
What restaurant?
I don't want to say.
Okay,
just because I don't want people to know where
yeah,
I work.
Guess, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, and then not. Yeah, and then it's always baffling to me when you do it in a restaurant too, because you're like, you're supposed to be eating soon.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And it makes you not eat.
Carl LeBeau, a great stand-up who used to tour. Sam Kinison has a great story. Like, we used to go to steakhouses where the steak cost $100, but we were doing so much coke that not one single person ate one single thing.
Yeah.
Because we just stared at the food and we're like, okay, we're out of here.
That's awful. What a waste.
I guess it sounded good at the time. Yeah. And then they went in and they go, God, yeah. I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
I know like a lot of models and stuff and girls that are like trying to keep skinny do cocaine so they don't eat.
Right. It's a bad plan. Just go to the gym.
Yeah, it's like, it's such a horrible plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lonely
eat less, work out more, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, there's other ways to get there.
Yeah, I actually find women to do. I find guys that do cocaine very unattractive, but I think women that do cocaine are like the epitome of trash to me. For some,
yeah.
I just look at you like you're trash.
When you're doing coke, I think the greatest way is like you're the worst version of yourself.
Yeah, literally.
So it's not like you're a complete terrible person. Any of us can come to a drug problem, but it's like what version of yourself are you putting out there?
Right.
And when you're on coke, it is the worst version of yourself.
And everyone always sounds like they're super intelligent, like they're telling the best story on the face of the planet.
Yeah. Well, they
I'm
sound
like
it to themselves.
Yeah. And then they just keep talking. I'm like, yo, I'm going to need you to shut the fuck up.
Yeah. You're like, I got a great business idea.
Yeah.
Let's break into houses, steal dogs, and sell them.
Yeah.
And then your friend's like, that does sound great.
Yeah. 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 I dated a cokehead, and it was really, really difficult. But I, like, loved him so much. I was like, I thought I could fix him.
It's just the worst version of himself. Like you said, I feel like I have a ton of friends who have drug problems.
Right.
Being in the comic business. And when they're off drugs, they're great people. Because also when you've been through something so horrible, because a drug addiction is horrible,
yeah.
and it's traumatic, and when you've been through something like that and you kind of come all the way back, they can become your favorite people.
Yeah, not
at
only
least for me.
But not only that, but a lot of people don't know that they're addicted to cocaine.
Oh, you mean the people that are on it?
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
they don't understand that they're like truly addicted to the drug.
Yeah.
They're just like, no, I just do it like when I'm out. You're out every day, dude.
It sneaks up on you.
Yeah.
I just do it when I'm awake.
Yeah.
The other times I'm asleep.
And on cocaine, you don't really sleep. You're up. Like, you're wired.
It's a boring drug.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
No one needs to see 4 a.m.
No.
Not on either side of it.
No, unless you're going to the airport and going to some island where you're going on vacation, there's no need to be up at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no need.
And even then, I would question the person who bought the ticket.
Yeah.
Like you really thought this would, you know, when you buy a plane ticket, you think like, I'll get the first flight out and I'll be the first one. And then you're in traffic at 4 a.m. and on the way to LAX. You're like, why did I do this to myself?
I love early flights. I'd be that weirdo.
Yeah.
110%. I like the four. I like to get to the airport at like 5 a.m. on my flight by 6:30. See ya.
Yeah,
I'm also petrified of flying. So I'd rather just get it over with as soon as I wake up as opposed to be like, oh, my flight's at noon. I got to sit around and have anxiety for 10 hours.
Tear
you know?
The Band-Aid off airlines. Like you fly from 4 to 6 a.m. only.
Yeah. Literally.
For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Mark Serratella. He's a comedian, actor, and a stepson. So let's talk about the stepson part of it now. Why is that so important to have in your...
I just thought, because that's a brand new website that you're looking at right there. And I go, well, what has shaped me? And I go, because I'm like, okay, what... Because everyone puts comedian, actor, writer.
Right.
And I'm tired of looking at that. And I had that on my website at one point, you know, that I made 10 years ago. And I go, okay, well, what has shaped my personality? I think it's just, you know, I'm not like, woe is me about my family's divorces, but there's like four of them. And I have like multiple step parents, who I love, by the way.
Right.
And
right.
I just thought, like, okay, it's funny, number one, because it's, you know, comedian actor stepson. People read it, they laugh out loud. So right. They get right. a laugh right. right away, like you laughed earlier.
Right.
And then, and I just think, okay, that kind of shaped me.
Right.
Because I definitely, like, you know, have had commitment issues. You know, I haven't been on a third date in 11 years, except for a porn star, by the way, which was not a great idea. Actually, but she was great.
Would you marry a porn star?
No, never. I don't even know how I even got caught up into this thing.
Did she pick up after herself as opposed to the...
No, she did not. They're used to leaving things behind. You know? They've gotten rewarded that way. They get paid to leave things behind. You know?
Yes, whatever. Yeah.
That's so funny.
So you've got several step-parents then.
Yeah, I do.
How many?
Three.
Three.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. That's a lot of stuff.
Your mom remarried or your dad or both?
Both.
Both. Yeah.
Both.
But who remarried twice?
Both.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So you have four then?
No, three. Okay, one.
Yeah, if they both remarried twice, that's okay. Four total.
One, two. Yeah, four. Jesus. Yeah. I lost a step parent.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, know, you have four. Yeah,
I'm glad I met you. Yeah. I have four.
Yeah.
She's great at math.
Yeah.
And like after they divorced the first replacement, do you still communicate with them?
Or absolutely.
Like, really? Yeah. That's cool. Because most times it's like, bye.
No, yeah, they're long term. Yeah.
So it means that your parents were married three times, though.
Yes.
Each one of them.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel what like I would just like them, want the ring and the party, probably. Yeah. I think I would stop the marriage part.
Yeah, it's a white trash dozen.
They probably would get back at each other all the time. Oh, you're married again? Yeah. Well, I'm married again.
Yeah. When they're secretly still in love with each other.
Yeah.
All of them get along. Everyone gets along, too, except for one. There's only one that we go, and you're out of here.
Really? Oh, and bye-bye.
Yeah, he broke into my mom's retirement account and spent it and started sending it to women.
Well, did he get arrested and did she get the money back?
No, but he still hits her up sometimes. Like, I want you back, but it doesn't work.
Oh, I would hope no. Yeah. I would hope not.
But even him in the moment, he actually talking about addiction and stuff, like, he got addicted to online communication with women in other countries. Like, it was definitely out of left field. Like, you got to keep yourself in check. You know, it's just like,
it's a very weird.
It is, but people do get addicted to it, like these connections. And he's like, these women needed help. And I mean, I know that this is.
Yeah.
I'm not making excuses for this guy. No one talks to him. He's definitely, you know, a piece of shit, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Which is also a term we got to get rid of. We need a new expression for that.
No, because there's like truly pieces of shit out there. Though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is.
It's like that title belongs to you.
Yeah.
Because you does. Are in fact a piece of shit.
Yeah, this guy was, but But other than that, all the step parents get along. My mom still loves her second husband, Al.
That's cool. And
third husband.
Do you have any siblings at all from any of the marriages?
Yeah, I have a brother and two sisters.
Uh-huh.
They're all still in Albany. They're all doing well. I got a niece on the way. My first niece.
Mm.
That's been exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like with the niece coming on the way, it's gotten me healthier too. Because being a comedian, you can blink an eye and you go, 2 years go by. You go, oh, wow, I just drank every single day for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's basically what happened for me for the past 2 years. I was like, wow.
What do you do? Who are you? I don't even know. Who are you guys,
I'm nobody.
By the way? Okay. I don't know a lot.
I'm just an on-air radio co-host.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's got 350,000 followers on Instagram. So
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she doesn't take off her clothes either. So
right.
Sometimes
there you
I do.
Go.
Right.
Sometimes I like to show some ass.
Yeah.
For me, though. Well, like, all the creepy comments. And nothing's worse than, like, friends. Guys that you're friends with. And, like, when you post something, then they send you creepy comments. I'm like, dude, stop.
Yeah.
Like, if I was going to fuck you, I would have fucked you when I met you years ago.
Right.
Like, it's never happening for you, dude.
But maybe when you portray that, you're portraying a woman that wants sex, maybe, or something.
No. Women can do, as long as,
but guys look at it.
And I don't care. I've never cared about what a guy thought.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's why they say those things, because they feel they're entitled. Hey, if she's showing her ass, she's probably willing, you know, let me say something dirty.
She's probably willing to suck my dick. Yeah. I know.
She needs it.
Yeah.
She needs it.
Yeah, no. No, bud. Not your dick. Never.
Yeah.
Blow my head off her.
It's a catch 22. I definitely don't leave comments like that. Just doing comedy. I don't want to be seen as this corny person.
Right, right.
But it's just like, you know, I feel like a guy. Also, I feel like, you know, getting back to the drink, I feel like someone like that is just drunk. And he's like, this is going to seal the deal. And then, you wake up in the morning and you go, oh, why did I comment that?
Yeah, and then you realize that you got left on scene because I ain't responding. I'm sure nobody else is either, boo. Sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
You're lame.
Plus, there's an expression I love, which is exceptional people are the exception. Most people are just like, going through their day to day, they're just like, oh my God, I can't believe you didn't like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. They're just not thinking things through.
Right.
Well, that's why they're exceptional.
Yeah.
So, Mark Serratella, do you have some work that people can check out if they can't come to your show?
Like I said, I have a brand new website. It's markscomedy.com. I have my YouTube up there, and I have a bunch of new clips I literally just put on last month. And I'm starting a new website that's coming out in 2 weeks called thestandupscene.com, which is just about the stand-up scene. And nice. I'm on my fourth article, and once I have 7 articles, I'm going to post it. So that'll also be linked onto my page. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Oh, that's cool. I see you're at the Ice House. I was going to ask you about that, too, if you perform there at all.
Yeah, I love that place.
That's like one of my favorites, you know, in Pasadena.
That if you want to have a killer set and you want to gain some confidence, that's where you perform. Because the Ice House has the seats are tiered.
Right.
But so is the ceiling. So the acoustics are phenomenal. Like, and laughter is contagious. So the laughter is so loud that people start laughing. If you want to, I have actually an Ice House clip up on my
website. I know, that's why I'm looking. Should we play it for a moment? You have some of your good lines there? Okay, let's listen.
Give it up for Mark Serratella!
Oh, that's it. This one I just put up yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
A round of applause for Jackie Fabulous right there. Let her know. Clap louder, she's right there, she'll kill herself. She has nothing.
Who?
It's nice to be here at the Ice House, Pasadena, great comedy club here. My name is Mark Serratella, that's my stage name. I'm related to someone famous, so I changed it. Don't want to give it away, give you guys a little bit of a hint though. My real name is Mark Shaquille O'Neal.
That's a corny opener I used for a few months.
Start a new job, guys, very excited to start a new job. There's no support in this audience for that, that's okay.
And then you got the one person
so no, save it. It's late. You're a minute late and a clap short. That's what you are. Worst part about starting a new job is when they have you fill out the paperwork. Mm-hmm. Then they ask you the emergency contact number. It's like, yeah, it's 911. If anything happens to me, call them right away. If they don't pick up, call right back. I don't want Rachel, the manager of Chili's, calling my mom, telling her I cut my finger off. I'll call her the next day. Can you picture the manager at your restaurant calling your mom with terrible news? Like, yeah, Mrs. Serratella, this is Rachel. Yeah, Mark has 9 fingers now. We were wondering if you could cover his shift.
That's pretty good. So I would imagine you come up with this stuff. Do you actually sit down and write, or does it come to you?
I used to sit down and write a lot more. And actually, it's funny. Like this morning, I made on my little goal sheet. I go, I got to sit down and write more. So I'm going to try to write at least one joke a day for the rest of the year.
That's cool.
I've written over probably 9,000 jokes.
Really?
Yeah, totally. But then I just told you how, like, at one point I wanted to have a new style where I wasn't so focused on doing my – because those were both written. So if you watch more of that set, you'll see that I start improvising with the crowd.
I see.
And that really gets the crowd going. So I kind of try to weave in and out of improvising back to jokes. But just this morning I thought I got to write some new stuff that I'm passionate about.
Right.
Very cool. So you sit there and how do you write a joke? I mean
– I think whatever makes you angry will make people laugh. If you want to, like, a kind of a generalization about it, like, even if it makes you a little bit upset, people will laugh about it. If you want just kind of a starter kit for writing,
right,
like, even the tiniest thing, like the porn star is leaving hair on the table,
right,
you know, what is this, you know, forensic file, LA Talk Radio forensic files,
right.
You know, you can make little, and people
that's
go,
true.
Oh, I relate
so you
to
have
that,
to
that
observe maybe, things
yeah,
a
like,
lot
but if you even a tinge of being upset, you can turn it into a joke,
right?
But some things are just like Mark Shaquille O'Neal, that's not something that makes me actually upset. That's just some goofy thought I had to go, what if I was related? I had a state by a famous parent, and who would be the most absurd famous parent I could have? It could probably Shaquille O'Neal. And I go, oh, Mark Shaquille O'Neal, because that's not a name that makes sense. That's just an absurd joke.
Right.
And that joke either gets an applause break or literally no laughter whatsoever.
Yeah.
Now, if it doesn't do well, do you dump it and go with something else next time?
I've been opening more actually with that emergency contact number.
Yeah,
totally.
I thought that was funny because it's so funny because your job really doesn't care. They're like, "Yo, can you cover a shift?" Or like,
I know, right? Because
regular jobs don't give a fuck. Yeah. Like, you could have like the worst like accident happen. They're like, So, like, is somebody coming in for you?
Yeah,
or?
Right. But exactly. Why would they call her his parents? She can't do shit.
Yeah, especially if they live across. I always wonder that. Yeah, because Gabby's my emergency contact. I'm like, she's 3,000 miles away. What the fuck is she going to do?
Yeah.
Great observation.
Maybe got to add on to that joke, too. Like, she's like, do you think you could call someone? You go, I'm missing my dialing finger.
Yeah.
You can't use your left hand?
Yeah.
I've used my middle finger.
Yeah, totally.
That's funny.
So that's cool, man. I mean, so you're definitely at the good clubs.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you work? Like all the time?
I probably 3, 4, 5 nights a week, somewhere in there.
So you're pretty busy.
Yeah.
So what do you aspire your success to? Is it because you consistently show up and you've been doing it?
100%. It's funny you asked me that too, because I'm doing like this new mindful exercise through this woman named Mel Robbins. She has some mindful exercise month. It's like 36 days of this thing. So there, I've been actually thinking about this stuff lately. But perseverance, if people ask me about stand-up, it's like, they go, do you have any advice? I go, just if you're going to get into it, you have to get into the mindset that you're never going to quit or you will quit stand-up.
Really?
Because there are some nights.
It's discouraging.
Oh, my God. When I lived in San Diego, I'd drive up here to L.A. to start. I go, okay, I'm going to move to L.A. next year. I better start doing sets. And I would drive 3.5 hours in traffic to perform in front of 4 people in a bar deep in the valley, because I didn't even know L.A. Wow. All of a sudden, I was like, is this L.A.? This is terrible. I hate this place.
Right.
You know, because you're coming up the 405, and all of a sudden, you're on Tampa Ave, and the blocks aren't stopping, and you're like, am I going to get carjacked up here? And then the bar is obscure, and no one's – I mean, so you have to – there's so many times that you can quit. And like,
right.
Comedy club owners can be ruthless, and they cannot pay you correctly, or they could not – they could, you know, you get a comedy club owner who loves to criticize your set or something. Like, there's so many – or you're just physically tired. So it really you have to go into the mindset that you're going to do it until you're dead or you're not going to get anywhere and stand up.
Right. Yeah. So that's true. Do you feel that you didn't have plan B? Like, what would you have done if you didn't?
I would definitely still be teaching. I taught first grade.
Really?
I 100% would be doing that.
Oh, what were you teaching?
Yeah. First grade.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you love kids?
Do. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
They make me laugh.
Yeah, that's true. Wow, that's pretty cool. I mean, I was just a substitute teacher for middle school, and
oh
I thought
God.
I was going to go crazy.
Dude, that's the only job I've ever thought about walking out of.
Really?
Was a middle school substitute teacher. I mean, you remember torturing those people. I mean, just like they slammed the planes into buildings on 9/11.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, I just remember torturing my substitute teachers in middle school.
Yeah.
I mean, even
that's
now,
the thing.
I'm like tensing up thinking.
I got fired as a substitute teacher.
And I was just like naively thinking, oh, I'll get to teach today, you know? And then.
No.
I never thought of myself as a sub, you know? But that's what it is. When you come in as a substitute teacher.
Oh, and nobody
teacher,
pays attention to you.
Yeah, they don't want to study.
You like, take your books out, and everyone's like, shut up, bitch.
Right.
Yeah. No, literally.
This is our 1 hour block of doing nothing.
Right.
Unless,
but the teacher gives you a lesson plan.
Yeah.
You know?
Like no one does it.
You have to become a regular face at that school, because that's how I actually got my first full-time job. Is I keep going back to the same elementary school and substitute teaching.
Right.
So then, if they get used to your face and have some rapport with you, then you can sub in on especially doing stand-up, because you want to. So it's hard to commit to a full-time teaching job. So I definitely got in at this one school called Mason Elementary School in San Diego. Fell in love with the kids, loved the teachers. They'd call me. So then I felt like I had. Some, because you do want to teach if you're teaching, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you're kind of mind, you go, oh, I want to have some impact on the
kids. You're not there you know, and I felt I was like a policeman.
You were.
It's like, you know, all the kids start acting up and shit. You go, what the fuck's going on?
You're worse than a policeman. You're not even a policeman. You're like a janitor at the police station.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're just like, no one respects me.
Nobody.
It's true. No respect at all.
Even the parents, like, you know, your kid was acting up in school. They're like, you know what? Get the fuck out of my face. Like, okay, good. And then I'm not going to tell you about your kid. Yeah, like, no one, you're low man on the totem pole.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
sad. No, I knew I didn't belong there when sometimes I'd have the reputation as the teacher that raises his voice or yells.
I can't picture you being a teacher at fucking all.
Yeah.
At all, Sam.
No, I couldn't.
Not the
I
profession
didn't last
for
very
you.
Long.
No.
And one day I said, there was someone complaining. I said, well, stop bitching, you know? And they're like, ooh, you know, like you can't say shit.
No.
And all it takes is one time to slip.
Right.
And you lose your job.
You should be able to. This is really, if 7th and 8th grade, if you're a substitute teacher, you should be able to hit the kids. Because I remember one kid put on my back, this is down, it's the only time I've ever thought about walking out at lunch. He put a sign on my back and it said, kick me, but he spelled kick wrong. And it was K-I-K me, and I just took it off and I go, you spelled kick wrong. And then it's still, Oh, God, just even think about that day. Like, seventh and eighth grade, you shouldn't even have, now that you think about it, substitute teachers. They should just disperse the classes.
Yeah, right.
Give them to the regular teachers because you can't, you know.
The kids are crazy.
Do you know that in seventh and eighth grade, your brain doesn't have moral values? They teach you in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade the same exact subject matter. And it doesn't, really? It doesn't, because you have, your brain is so screwed up.
Right.
And you have no attention span and no real values for school or for adults that they just go, it's basically sixth grade, sixth grade, sixth grade, and then you're in the ninth grade.
Wow, very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, but yeah, I mean, the ages, they're a little different in their behavior and things like that. Like, sixth graders, you can tell, are like, are different from the eighth graders.
It's starting.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should be able to do
exactly. Six, they just come from elementary school.
You should be able to teach football, and then you're like the defensive end. You go, all right, everyone, pat up. We're going outside. We're gonna play football, and I'm gonna start leveling some kids.
Right.
That way, there's something productive towards it.
Mm-hmm.
Or just all day dodgeball, and you're just, you know,
dodgeball. Oh my god, I hated gym class, and I hated my gym teachers.
Did you?
Yeah, I hate it. I'll never forget. One of them was, he actually got fired like when I got older because they figured out he was racist, but he was always mean to all the black and Spanish kids.
That's wild.
And I was like, yo, what's this guy's deal? And he got hit by a bus.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you go to school?
North Andover Middle School.
Where's that?
That's in Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. So.
Yeah. Well, karma is a bitch for
Mr.
him.
Mr. McDonald, I'll never forget him.
Really?
I'll never forget his face. He was just like, he just looked like an angry, angry man.
Right.
He was
I'm like,
clown.
You teach fucking gym, dude. Yeah.
Right.
You were literally playing dodgeball.
It's the easiest job.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like the cake job in any school is the PE teacher. Even in seventh, eighth grade, because kids are happy to see you.
Yeah.
And you're just, yeah.
No, I mean, I remember actually in school, in middle school, that there were angry teachers, absolutely.
Yeah,
I mean,
people that hated their job. I'm like, get a fucking new job. Don't make our lives miserable.
Yeah.
And there's nothing greater than going to class with a teacher that loves that they're in class.
Yeah. Right.
They're
right.
teaching you. Like, I had a few amazing teachers in, like, middle school and high school.
Right, and you can tell they want to be
there,
right?
and they love
their
students.
Kids,
yeah, I mean, they had their favorites, for sure, like, the kids that actually tried, but...
Right.
Exceptional but people
they also
are the exception.
Yeah. You know?
But they also have the ones they like the least.
Yeah, because they're
shitholes. The teachers
holes.
Would put them down, though.
Yeah.
No, but, I mean, just kids that wouldn't do their homework. I remember my teachers would single them out, put them down, spend 5-10 minutes just...
Yeah.
You know, degrading them.
Yeah, I mean,
in front of the kids.
That's not the way to
That's
get through
terrible,
to them at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Today they fucking fired the bitch, you know.
Yeah.
But back then they were all bitches.
Well,
all
no,
the
I mean, some teachers are crossing the line though. Like, there's been some videos lately where I'm like, let a teacher touch my kid like that, and I'm showing up to the school guns blazing.
Right.
Do you mean the kids that the teachers
especially
are
like the autistic kids?
Yeah. I know. It's like if you can't handle it, why do you have a job in that department?
Well, back in the day, if you were autistic, you had. Every autistic kid had their own,
special
handler for like.
Now it's like one teacher per class,
right? And now there's one autistic because autism is like there's a lot more autistic kids, so they have to train you how to deal with autistic kids. Because I that actually happened. I taught for 7.5 years, and autism kind of like grew
right
in that time. Uh-huh. So all of a sudden, you had to teach autistic kids. So they're getting better at it,
right?
But there is certain autistic kids can be very because it's a spectrum. So there's some kids that absolutely should be aided 24 hours a day,
right.
And they will throw a fit. So drag, you got to see the whole. I don't know. I'm defending the teacher in that. Like, if you're dragging an autistic kid through the hallway, I can almost guarantee something happened. And now, is he dragging him or is he dragging him and beating him? You know what I'm saying? I remember I had my autistic kid that stood out the most to me, who now actually is doing amazing and graduated college and he's does kinesiology. But when he was 6, he was fucking wild.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and he would
That's
be.
True.
No, I never.
I
dragged.
Don't care how wild an autistic kid is. Let someone drag my autistic kid. Like, you're getting your ass beat.
It has to. Be, yeah, totally. Now I never had to drag this kid because actually he would be wild, but he was also not be wild towards the other students.
Right.
But
there's like different forms of
we
autism.
Need, there
too,
is
yeah.
exactly. And he when he was getting wild, it was. Always, like, I'd look in the back of the class and he'd be taking crayons and just launching them into the wall.
How does autism happen?
They don't know yet.
Yeah, well, that's a long story and we're totally out of time.
Yeah.
Mark Serratella, thank you so much for joining us. Tell people how they can find you again.
You can find me teaching at this autistic school.
Yeah, there
no,
you go.
It's markscomedy.com and my calendar. Actually, I'm updating my calendar later today, but I have a bunch of new dates coming in April. I'm in Hollywood a bunch, and actually I'm over in Miami, Florida, In the middle of the month, and then I have two headlining dates in June at the Irvine Improv and the Hollywood Improv.
Oh, wow, cool. So maybe we'll come out and see you. When's the next show?
Next show is Tuesday at the Laugh Factory at 7:30.
This Tuesday at the Laugh Factory. I'm going to try and make it, man.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'd love to see you on stage. If you want to see some clips of Mark, go to markscomedy.com. There's also links to all his social media, so you can contact him there. And thank you for joining us. Cool. You're welcome back anytime.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Danny, thank you.
You're welcome.
See everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.